Welcome once again to the Lime Leaf Podcast. This is a show about building a better internet through open source, open standards, and worker ownership. We're your hosts, Blaine, Mubs, and me, John. Fellas, hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Eric couldn't join us today. He's actually working. So we own Lime Leaf, a tech co-op specializing in software solutions and consulting for values-driven organizations. We also run Blue Sky Directory, collection of all things related to the Blue Sky social media platform. You can browse millions of Blue Sky profiles, starter packs, feeds, and tools that help you get the most out of your Blue Sky experience at blueskydirectory.com. You can also subscribe to our weekly Blue Sky newsletter on that site. Speaking of Blue Sky, today we're discussing the fast-growing ecosystem of software that people are building on a technology called AT Protocol, also known as AT Proto. Some people are calling this ecosystem the Atmosphere, AT-mosphere, get it? Listeners, if you're on Blue Sky, guess what? You're a member of the Atmosphere. Blue Sky has evolved into a social network of nearly 40 million people, but it started as a reference implementation of AT Proto and was developed by some people who now work at Blue Sky. We're pretty hip to the Atmosphere here at Lime Leaf. We are getting more and more into it every week, but we wanted to bring on somebody who really understands it, both the tech and the culture, so we invited Boris Mann to the show. Boris is a longtime web tinkerer and has been building developer communities for over 20 years. He started hosting AT Proto Tech Talks in August 2024, and then formed the AT Proto Community Fund to support running the first conference in March 2025 in Seattle. Aside from the Community Fund, he's currently consulting on a number of projects, including with Ink and Switch, an independent software research lab working on local first and mailable software. Welcome, Boris.
Hello. Thank you. So right off the bat, at Proto, not AT Proto. And the reason being, because it's okay. Like the at symbol, which is less obvious when it's written, obviously, but we're trying to standardize the at symbol that has you know, started with Twitter, but kind of is like everywhere as the sign of a social media account. And so that's the long, nerdy take of how it has its name.
Okay, because this is something that we've been talking about.
No, I think this is great. This is real stuff because, again, lots of people say it that way. I don't even think it's not incorrect. I know what you mean. Other people, what you mean.
Well, like the signaling of it both being capitalized, the A and the T being capitalized, right?
Yeah. Authenticated Transfer Protocol underneath. I believe it was actually retconned. Like, we want to call it the App Protocol. And what letters do we have to use to make it mean that?
I'm so used to saying AT. I think it's worth saying up front that we want this discussion to focus on AT Protocol and not necessarily Blue Sky. That's no shade on Blue Sky, but this is more about, you know, the emerging technology that the Blue Sky people have been kind enough to kickstart for everybody. So Boris, can you just give us a high-level overview of what AT Proto is all about and some history of your involvement and why so many people are so excited about it?
Sure. And I think, you know, right off the bat, like, I'm technical. I have a computer science degree. I don't tend to code day to day, but I'm pretty good with architecture and protocols because I've been working on them for a really long time. But protocols don't really matter unless, like, people use them and they can get reused and adopted. And so just what you were saying about culture and building what an app protocol, community, ecosystem, developers, users all together, that's the anchoring for me of why I care at all. And the only reason I care at all is because these tools are pretty fundamental for connecting humans through communication and expression. That's the anchoring for me. I'll actually just talk about the history. I think that's the easiest way to kind of go. I ran a startup called Fission that we started in 2019, shut it down last April 2024. But way back in 2019, the first engineering hire that myself and my co-founder did was Daniel Holmgren, who is now the head of protocol at Blue Sky. And we were working on protocols and software research of identity and encryption and distributed systems. So very much in the like low-level space And Daniel worked with us and helped develop the protocols that we worked on. So some of that thinking has actually made its way into AppProto. I'd say the one piece that you can like really see that I'll claim is that putting the DID identifiers that are the identifiers for your AppProto account in DNS text records so that you can have like a human readable like website name. That's something that we had as core to the identities identifiers that we worked on back at Fission. And so Daniel was there and he pinged us when it was like ready to go in November 2022. My account was created through through an early invite. So I'm user 22 on the network that's now 40 million people.
Damn. Did you and, get like, any equity? That's a startup.
No, I did not. No. It was great to see that and great to see that Jay had, you know, done that negotiation to make it a separate entity, and she had been doing work previously in kind of researching a bunch of this stuff. So all that is like pre-2022 as well, right? And why are people excited about it? Many of us have been working on open source and open standards for a really long time. People that are a little younger maybe forget that, you know, open source feels like it's one in that lots of software is openly available and reusable and so on. But we were a very, very small group and the vast majority of software is proprietary in the early 2000s. And we then saw Web2 and social media end up in proprietary platforms. And so a lot of us have been like wanting something like this for a really long time. And so we're excited that there's something that looks like it's viable both technically and adoption. Right? Even decentralized identifiers, which is the kind of base of your account. I don't know this for sure, but I'm pretty sure Blue Sky is probably one of the only, the largest adoption of like even just that technology.
So get us a little like, you know, something that I would understand, because Blaine and Mubs know a lot more about that standard than me. Like a DID, briefly explain what that is.
Sure. And you know, any technical people listening at home, I'm going to hand wave and try and do this at a really high level. So it's a W3C standard. DID stands for Decentralized Identifier. We say identifier because it's not a person. It doesn't have an avatar. It doesn't do other things like this, but it's a method. And there's actually, like, I think 250 different DID methods. The Blue Sky team looked at all of them and went, none of these work for us. And so they came up with their own called a placeholder, or DID PLC for short. Again, for those listening along at home, DID PLC, Blue Sky just renamed it after the fact of being, yeah, it's a public ledger of credentials, which is what it is.
Right.
But it actually stands for placeholder. Yeah. So it's the unique identity that identifier for your account, and that's why you can move between systems. It's why you can map your own domain name, and it's one of the pieces that leads to portability in the network.
Yeah, and it's more of a machine readable thing. It's nothing you would. It's not your handle.
If a human sees your DID, we've already failed as far as product design goes.
Okay, so DIDs, you know, are somewhat portable. So data portability. This is what a lot of people. Ready to AppProto and Blue Sky, and you can just go from your stuff is on Blue Sky's server, but someday you might want to have all your data on your own server, so you can just move it. Can you just explain how that works and why it's important and how it's different from something like, say, X, formerly Twitter?
Oh, you're giving me all the easy challenges. Great. yeah, absolutely. So I think that data portability isn't even quite the right framing, and this is a challenge because definitely users don't have like analogs necessarily that they can point to, and developers too. I find a real challenge for developers to go like, but wait, the Blue Sky server, not quite how it works. But let's dive into it a little. I think about this as user data ownership. And that's even, like, I'm using a non-technical term, but we're going to get to some of these. The developer and the app that you're using doesn't own the data and then, like, give you an export that you can take somewhere else. Every AppProto account has the DID identifier underneath, and then it has an account that's hosted somewhere, and that account is both your identifier and all of the data that makes up your account, including your avatar and your friendly name and any of those other things across all of the apps, whether that's Blue Sky or everything else. So every app proto account that you connect into in the Atmosphere, all that data is in your account, not the developer's account. And that is huge because it means that, you know, a small developer could hack something together and you're like, okay, cool, I'll try this out because the data is in my account. I don't have to be worried about losing it. And that's really, really interesting. I hand waved over a bit in the middle there where, okay, where basically account hosting is separate from apps.
For non-technical people, like an analogy might be your sort of personal data server, the PDS, that's where your records, which is what is, you know, the data that's in your account, you're kind of renting space from somebody, or it's on a server that you can either own yourself, or in the case of Blue Sky, it's there, but they don't own it. They don't control it. They don't lock it away from you like other social networks.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, and again, that we see that people are not like used to that as a model because it mostly hasn't been how it works. I think it's useful to think about things like Dropbox or Apple iCloud, right? The thought experiment in AppProto is, what if all of your stuff stayed in your Dropbox or your iCloud, and then apps kind of knocked on the door and just pulled each new message out of there? And that's maybe a model that we can help orient people with.
Okay.
And you talked about X. There's all these other things, obviously. So yep, it's their server, it's their database, it's over there. You have a login to get to it. They can lock you out, they can bar you. You're never sure if your audience is seeing what you're sending or why you're seeing things, because at that algorithm layer, they run all of those things. I actually have an export of all of my Twitter archive that, you know, probably today it's not something that Twitter would build if it hadn't already been built. I had an export and I actually imported it all into an AppProto account. So I have my whole Twitter archive on the system now.
So that the other thing that people talk a lot about with AppProto and the Atmosphere is algorithms. There's a lot of excitement and talking about things like free R feeds and other, I hesitate to call them movements, but there's a lot of people who are very annoyed that social media networks, basically nobody knows what the algorithms do except the people who work there and how they work. So how is it all different in the Atmosphere?
Yeah, I'm even going to say some things where I recently sat down and kind of had to think about all of this and my experiences over the past 20 years online with social media and other things like that. And one of the things that's happening is Google. We're like, oh yeah, Google works great. And it's like, well, it doesn't. Right. So one of the things I just want to anchor for people is Google is an algorithm. And once you start thinking about that, yep, you start thinking about what else has been hidden for us. If I search and something comes up and something else doesn't come up, is Google a completely neutral, unbiased person in the middle just that shows you exactly what you're searching for? No!
No. Absolutely not.
Our experience on the internet is built on lies. Anyway, again, that's not the day-to-day experience that people have, and they think it's kind of mysterious, and reverse chronological following is technically also an algorithm. It's just like super simplistic, and there's words like shadow banning, and it's all very mysterious to people. And in closed platforms, you don't see the inner workings of those things. So there's two pieces with AppProto. One, we talk about owning your data. So everything that you post on AppProto for any app, so that Blue Sky microblog, or we'll get into non-microblogging things later,
yep,
is signed with your account key. So that's really you. No one can go in and edit the database and edit what you said. And that's also going to be super important when we don't know who's a bot or right, a synthetic entity as we move along here on the internets. So the feeds are a separate layer in AppProto. They're defined, and you can basically make your own. You can either be a coder and write whatever you like. There's a couple of different tools that help you make feeds, and that's pretty interesting. So that can be everything from a community tool to say like, hey, let's make one about coffee in Vancouver.
Right.
And I might make a feed that only shows me posts about that. And that's really lovely that people can build community with all sorts of things like that. The really interesting thing is Blue Sky has one algorithmic feed that Blue Sky, the company, makes. And they have in their app called the Discover feed. And lots of people complain about it in different ways. There's somewhat a third party, actually, tangent.
Mm-hmm.
When I say third party, slap me. I'm trying to do the same thing to other people. Okay. When we say app proto,
right,
you're just building on a protocol. There's no such thing as third party. Everybody is a first party developer.
Right.
Right. There's a subtle nuance in Blue Sky still gets to like decide what shows up in their app in slightly different ways. But as far as the protocol goes, that's the interesting thing. We're making use of some of the reach and adoption of Blue Sky, the app, but we're actually building on a protocol. Super tangent. So feeds, custom feeds, you can make them. You can make them for communities and you can do all sorts of things with them. And that's probably still an underutilized thing because people aren't used to the fact of being able to like super tune their feeds. And probably that'll start more with people who are more of a curator role and saying, I'm going to make the best feed ever for the Hudson Valley. We were talking about that before the show started, right?
So, and another piece of that is moderation and safety. There's pieces of at proto blocking other people. Like if you could just get, I know this is, you could go way, way down.
Oh, we're really hitting all of the hits.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. But yeah. I just wanted to just give people, you know, like non-technical people, just a sort of idea of what it means to control who you and who can see you. You can see all those things that they're just not possible with most social networks today.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I had on Twitter to make it usable for me, I was using a third-party client when they still allowed third-party clients,
yep,
called Tweetbot. And they had lots of great tools in there, including before Twitter platform itself had things, they would add things. And I had like a 5,000-line mute list in Tweetbot. And that's what made my Twitter experience probably usable for longer than it felt like for other people. And then they killed third-party clients, and so you had to deal with only what you had to do on Twitter. And Blue Sky pulls this all in and makes these things first-party, not third-party in some ways, right? So there's another layer called labelers where posts and content generally on App Proto are labeled. That's the actual technical way that that it is implemented. So the Blue Sky moderation is a labeler that labelers bought lots of things, and in their app you can't remove it. You're like, hey, if you're going to use our space here, we're going to apply our labeler. There's two layers. One is what we call infrastructure moderation. That's stuff that's like illegal everywhere or actual attacks on the network. So that's one layer. And then the other layer is content moderation. So in different countries around the world, there are different rules in that locality of different things. Apple and Google have certain rules. Apple doesn't allow not safe for work content. And so that is a label that you can't turn on unless you go to the website. So the iOS app doesn't have that toggle, but of course Apple doesn't control what you do on the web, so the user can go to the web and turn that thing. So that's a really interesting thing. All of these constraints are actually pilled by the other corporate systems that we're forced to use to deliver software. So one example, not moderating, but labeling, and it's nuanced, but I think it's important, is like, if you don't want to see sexual content, just turn it off and it'll be filtered out just for you. It'll still exist, it'll be just filtered out just for you. And then from there, you can toggle a bunch of things. Blue Sky has a rude label. If you don't want to hear from rude label, you can set that up in such a way that no rude posts will cross your eyes.
So yeah, I mean, in the old model, social network model, you have to, every single person, you have to block one by one. It's just this tedious thing that, whereas what you're talking about is more of a kind of, you get more control over, like, I don't want to see anything to do with Penn State football, which is me. I went to school there.
Yeah. My friends
are very into it. And I'm like, I could care less about Penn State football. That's an example of like, you have like these global filters where it's just like, they're whole things that I just don't want to hear.
But that's also still in the context of Blue Sky allowing that to happen. Like, it's still on the protocol.
Correct.
Like, there's a very important distinction. Like, the labeling is the mechanism in which Blue Sky is defining what quote unquote rude means.
For them, exactly. And so there are a number of other people who run labelers. It turns out the way labelers have been implemented, and because people are infinitely creative, instead of just for moderation, it has ended up getting used for creativity. Hmm. So one of the first one of these to come up was a role-playing game labeler, where as a user, you could subscribe to the labeler. These are all opt-in, basically. So you can kind of choose what your thing is. And if you subscribe to the role-playing game labeler, it will basically randomly decide what your role is. I'm proud to say that I am a psychic is my role. Okay. And then separately, you can choose a fantasy race. So I'm a gnome psychic. And if you're subscribed to that labeler, you'll see gnome psychic on every single one of my posts. So just to really bask in the glory of knowing that I'm a super geek.
I was going to say, like all things technology, this just all comes back to D&D. I mean, roots of all modern internet technology is Lord of the Rings and Dungeons and Dragons. So that's it. That's all
you know. And just to riff on what you said, if you want to say you could label people Penn State supporter and then mute or block all of them.
So we've been talking about microblogging. You alluded to this earlier. Like, what I wanted to emphasize is it's about a lot more than that. So there's implementations of that proto that are not microblogging and are not what traditionally associate with social networking, which is three columns in a browser that, you know, there's your feed, your this to that. So some of the other implementations with that proto, I just want to talk about some of those. But before we get too deep into that, there is one more. So Black Sky. Explain what Black Sky is all about. People talk about it a lot in the atmosphere.
Yeah. Rudy Fraser, founder of that, he ended up forming a company around it, which is called Black Sky Algorithms. He started with a feed. Great that we just came off of that and basically did two things, a feed and moderation. He ran a moderation service that specifically protected Black people, and people could make reports directly to the Black Sky moderation service instead of the Blue Sky one. And with that, he ran a feed where those moderation settings were applied. You know, with process for adding yourself to the Black Sky feed so your post would show up in there, and then replies, posts, and other things like that filtered out if you subscribe to the Black Sky moderation service. But Rudy did more than that. He's also the creator of the Risky, spelled R Sky, pronounced Risky, implementation of AppProto in Rust. So he's been slowly implementing. Blue Sky has implementations. They're all open source. People can reuse all the different parts that they have under an Apache MIT license. Rudy went directly to the protocol specifications and implemented them in another programming language, and they interoperate. And that's one of the key pieces of how protocols are more important than open source.
Right.
So instead of just being bug compatible with one implementation, you can just implement the protocol and know stuff that's going to interop. And so, you know, Black Sky has really led in being a sort of a community first implementation. You can use it with the Blue Sky app, but like tune your experience in different ways. And he now runs basically one component of all of the things in the network.
Yep.
Hosting, account hosting with a PDS, a relay, a moderator, feeds, and he's even forked the Blue Sky web client. And so you can go to Black Sky and not be logging in to anything run by Blue Sky, but seeing all the same content.
And that's, I think, what breaks a lot of people's brains about all this. Is they're like,
yes.
What do you mean it's not on Blue Sky? It's like, it's a view, and that's literally what they're called. They're app views into the network.
Yeah.
Like you said, you can run all those components yourself if you want, but you're still going to be, people yell at me for saying federated, but you're going to be federated into the rest of the other AT protocol network.
They should yell at you. It's not quite. Well, we can't use the word decentralized either.
Okay. My role in this podcast is always to be the one who is not afraid to ask really stupid questions of people. So other implementations. So Tangled. Let's talk about Tangled.
Tangled. And they actually just got a new domain name. So tangled.org is their new domain name.
Okay.
And they have a new cute sheep logo called Dolly. So Tangled is basically GitHub for developers, but the like social parts where you can follow other coders.
Yep.
You can put your code repo. Other people can star those repos. right? The interesting thing about GitHub being the backbone of lots of open source was it actually, aside from having sort of like code tools, it's actually a giant code social network.
Yep.
And as we know, having that in one place, now owned by Microsoft, maybe it's a good idea to have an open version. And yep. So that's what Tangled is. And that's one of the things that's super exciting. Obviously, lots of the developers in the AppProto ecosystem are actively using the code social network and code hosting built on their protocol.
Even dummies like me. I just to learn more about how all this stuff works, I wrote this little app that does screenplay formatting and something called Fountain. And I wanted to figure out how it all worked. But it's now in Tangled. And so if I can do it, literally anybody can do it.
Go ahead. Tangled is a really good example to actually showcase another feature. And I have a whole presentation that I did that we'll share in the links afterwards that I went through a bunch of these where right now, if you follow someone on Blue Sky, that is technically a Blue Sky follow. It is not an app proto follow, meaning that social part is something that Blue Sky defines and anyone can reuse if they use the same spec. But any app is also can go its own way. So you might follow some people socially in a microblog contest that you don't want to follow people in a code thing. So Tangled actually has its own following where your following is separate from who you follow on Blue Sky. Fun fact.
Another fun one is Late as Leaflet, also a sort of content platform. I'm not really, I know what it is when I see it and when I use it, but to describe it, you could probably describe it better than me.
The intent that Leaflet has is to be the app proto version of Substack. So you can also think about it as blogging because you can do long form posts on there. They have a bunch of other really, really interesting, unique features, and it feels just really fun to use.
Yep.
But what they do is they have publications. So I have like a personal blog and a tech blog and an app proto experiments one that I really just used for test stuff. And you can subscribe to my Leaflet publications. There's another opportunity for us to go back and link all this stuff together. And then you can subscribe to a single Leaflet publications feed in Blue Sky. And then when I switch to that publications feed, I'll see all of the new posts from all of the publications that I'm subscribed to.
It's very cool. I've been playing around with it.
But long form blogging or Substack is the extremely short answer where, again, let's underline this for everyone. You log in with your single account.
Yep.
No multiple accounts. Don't have to create a new one. When you log in and when I write a long form post and I publish it, the data for that post is in my user account.
On your personal data server in a record that you can then move anywhere you want.
Leaflet is great. Gives me an editor. Gives me all sorts of features and automation and everything else like that. What some people are doing is they're using the Leaflet editor, but then they're writing their own website where they pull the data and display it exactly how they want.
Yep, I saw that demo the guy made,
So this is the Dropbox, Apple iCloud kind of example where I'm like, well, if the data's mine, amazing. I can I'm not exporting it. I'm just looking at it in different ways.
It's really cool. So there's also a messaging aspect, like all social things. So tell us about Germ.
Yeah, Germ is sort of a different category. It is more app proto adjacent. So the protocol is at a certain state today, more work to do on it, more features and other things like that, the protocol layer. The Blue Sky team implemented DMs, direct messaging, private messaging, but they implemented it actually not on the protocol. They implemented it off protocol. It still uses your app proto account. Other developers can work with it and everything else like that. But right now, all that stuff, because it's private, everything on the protocol is public right now. That just sits with Blue Sky, the company, on their servers. Germ is working on end-to-end encrypted messaging that ideally should be as secure and private as Signal, which is kind of the gold standard in the category, where they're reusing your app proto identity. So they're connected to that part, which is great. That's one great piece of reuse. And then over time, ideally, that might even be something that Blue Sky might adopt or include that in the protocol. So multiple people can have really secure encrypted messaging in a way that really meets the bar of what we need today for that feature.
So we'll put all these in the show notes. I know that there's a ton of them.
Yeah, we shouldn't go through all of these.
Or every day. So I want to be respectful of the time, but like Cosmic Network, Streamplay, Smoke Signal, there's all these pretty incredible things that people are building. And I have been trying to keep up with it, but it's just every day there's some cool new thing that somebody's built. So I wanted to move on to, and I get you have a blog post called Beyond Microblogging that talks about some of this.
Yeah, I presented at a Fediverse conference actually here in Vancouver. Okay. So that was that. I kind of went through a big giant list of things to video there and stuff like that. Right. So people
we'll have that in the show notes too. So getting back to maybe something a little bit controversial, there's another social network, whatever. There's Mastodon.
Let the record show John said those words, not me.
And there's been some tension maybe between adherence to each one, or I don't want to get into quote unquote which is better or what, because that's not important. What's important is, are these things ever going to interoperate together? Because if we're talking about a world where you don't have to have things hosted in specific places, so interoperability with Mastodon, and Blaine knows a lot more about this than I do, but is that ever going to happen? Is it something that people are motivated to do? Is it a technical problem? Is it a social problem?
So we throw the word interop around lots, and we have to go all the way down to, like, how does the internet actually work? So we're not going to go there. So technically, the protocol that powers Mastodon and a bunch of other apps and instances doesn't really map to how things work in App Proto. It's called ActivityPub. It's a W3C standard, which generally works on browser-related standards. Do HTML and FTP interop?
No.
They both got sockets. That's about
actually
it.
Even said completely wrong there. So I'll actually say what I said again. Can HTTP and FTP interop? Not really, right? You can browse some FTP servers over FTP, but that's someone running an HTTP server that reads FTP in the back end, kind of thing like that. Yeah. And I'm just like, I understand. I promised I wouldn't go very low, and then I literally said the names of two protocols. You need a bridge between the two to connect them, to bridge from one format to another. I think a converter might be another word. Like, you look at it, you look at a Mastodon post, and you're like, well, it's just a microblog, and maybe it's longer or shorter, or it does or does not display quote posts or whatever, but it's text. How hard can this be?
Very.
And so ActivityPub is much older. It's been around for quite some time. And even before that, there were people doing things before it became a W3C standard.
Yep.
Blue Sky team, who implemented App Proto initially in R&D and developed it, has a big write-up of why they didn't choose it, why it didn't work for them. One of those big things is they're like, we want to have our goal is public and global communications and be a layer that can go toe-to-toe with Twitter and Facebook. That's the goal. Smaller communities, more private communities are amazing goals. Mm-hmm. Our aim is to be this big global conversation and communications. So that's what they aim for. You can connect the two through a bridge. So the folks at Anu Social, Ryan Barrett and Anuj, built this piece of software called Bridgy, and it speaks ActivityPub on one side and it speaks App Proto on the other. And there's some opt-in permissions on both sides so that it will pass microblog-shaped messages across the bridge and follows and everything else like that, which is great. That's amazing, so right?
Yeah, just for dummies like me. You can post on Mastodon and it'll show up on Blue Sky is the long and the short of Bridgy.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and follows, right? So a large amount of the things that you expect to be able to work will mostly just work.
So we have mentioned standards a few times, and App Protocol is not a stand, and there are efforts to change that. But I have some experience in this. Basically, what they did is the same move we did when I used to work on a video codec called VP8 for WebM project. You just publish the spec at the IETF, and you say, here's the spec, it's published, it's got a RFC number, and then a lot of people yell at you that you didn't go through a standards process. So you're involved with creating some working groups, and without getting into all the terminology too much about what these things mean to standards nerds, you're creating groups where people can talk about how do we standardize not only the protocol, but other things like private records. And so talk a little bit about, you know, the things that are underway to try to have a traditionally defined standard around all this stuff.
Okay, I'm going to start us off with a well, actually, which is we can argue about what an open standard is. It's licensed under a CC BY, Creative Commons by Attribution license. So it is open,
yep.
Right? It is not inside, and people in the community make pull requests and have updated it and improved it and so on. Currently all run by the Blue Sky team of that sort of governance around some of the things, but that's yep. There. It's not in a W3C or IETF standards body today, although as of the date of this recording, the Blue Sky team has submitted this parts of the specification, and their intent is to go through that IETF standard. So rather than up here in browser land, it's actually lower down in a more back-end protocol land, which I think is also interesting. ActivityPub is at that browser layer, and AppProto has aspirations, including power things like Git hosting, where it's like, well, we think we're maybe a little lower, and maybe we're more like browsing, kind of things like that. So, yeah, standardization in air quotes is complicated, and it has all its own sort of things. Recently just read an article, I will share that, it's posted on the AppProto community forum, that basically I'm like, amazing, I can share this article with people, and they will now understand a little bit. And
oh, is that Alex's?
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to work with him at Google.
Yeah, absolutely. Doing really, really hard work in making browsers and the web work for everyone. And he had, go read the thing. So I've created working groups in many different communities over the last 20 years. I think in standard spaces, there's various versions. You might add the word community working group or draft working group or various other like words around different things. But I think the thing that I really want to anchor us on, especially learning more about you guys and Limeleaf as a worker-owned cooperative, is that the concept of a working group is one, getting shit done, two, collaboration, right? And it should be seen as drawing inspiration from cooperative organizations, things like sociocracy, and be like, oh, great, who wants to form a working group about how we're going to do our accounting? Great, Blaine and John, you're the accounting working group. And Mubs can be like, great, get back to me. I do not care, don't have the expertise. You let me know what the output and recommendation of the accounting working group is. So in the same way, you know, might we build an AppProto community meetup working group? Not to control it, but to coordinate, like, hey, what else are other people doing? Who wants to work on getting more regional groups up and going and so on? So I wanted to like just put that out there as and I essentially do some things around that, around event planning and support that. So yes, we have a new AppProto discourse forum, and we kicked off the private data working group, and we're basically like throwing up a big flag and saying, this seems really hard. What are your use cases? If we're going to write code, can we, one, make it interoperable? Two, can I maybe not write code and just hand you a check or moral support so you can write the code, right? So lots of different ways that collaboration can look like and like learn from each other. Comments?
I hesitate to get into the other thing that Alex mentions in his post is patents. And he rightly points out that they gum up the works of any standards effort. Has that come up anywhere yet? I didn't read the IETF stuff, so I don't know if they have.
Yes, there are a bunch of haters who don't like that the Blue Sky team hasn't picked their favorite license and process for all of those things. One of these things I want to underline is I am a champion of the App Protocol community. And so I see a lot of people saying Blue Sky should do blah. And I'm like, cool, what are you doing?
Right.
So part of my challenge is Blue Sky, the company, is carrying close to 100% of the opportunity cost of standardization and code writing and a bunch of other things like that. And so we need larger entities. We need more funding. We need more people. A part of this is even just the kind of users that inhabit Blue Sky who don't feel a lot of agency, right? And my simple answer all often is like, amazing. You should make a monthly contribution to Rudy's Black Sky. That's a thing that you can do.
Right. And I see people saying things like, well, it's a Silicon Valley thing and they're all rich. They should be paid. It's like, no, haven't we learned anything from the last 25 years? I don't want these people subsidizing this stuff.
Exactly.
Because they fuck it all up and make it horrible.
Yeah.
You know, the reason that we have Facebook is because somebody, you know, raised money, and we at Limeleaf have a lot of strong opinions about venture capital. And so I don't want their money. I'm not speaking on behalf of the AppProto community here. I'm just saying as a consumer and a citizen as a person, I don't want them paying for anything else. Anyway, but yeah, patents is, I've also had some experience with that, and it gets...
Yeah, and again, there's a bunch of you shoulds here that are definitely going to happen. Part of going into a formal standards body like ITF has a process for doing those things. The community specification license, which is something I've used in the past, yep, might have been something that could have been applied earlier that directly addresses patents. Trust, but move forward and keep an eye on things, and more investment and more energy of us all collectively doing things, right?
Yeah, for sure. And people love royalty free until it starts to
infringe software patents.
Yeah, right. It's like everybody loves royalty free until it starts to infringe on, you know, their paycheck or there's an opportunity or defensive patents, all this stuff. Hopefully we've learned in the last 20 years, it's not good for anybody. No matter what you think about intellectual property, quote, ownership and things like that, it just slows everything down. And if you're really serious about wanting to move fast and change the world, like, patent stuff is just going to slow you down. It's slowed down video codecs, which is what I used to work on it in for decades. And it's still happening. The reason you're still using H.264 in most things is patent.
Look at this. We're just dropping protocol and codec names all over the place.
That's where we all play all the time. That's all we do. Because none of us can make things look pretty.
Hey, can we talk about Blue Sky Directory? How do we make Blue Sky Directory an at proto native application where Blue Sky Directory just becomes an app view that you curate?
That's that's up to Mubs.
I still have to be.
I have a half-assed OAuth implementation in my little thing that I built, but there's no way that it...
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing stopping us creating our own lexicon for storing application information on the protocol, and anybody can submit it. Because right now you can submit it, but it goes into the MySQL database. It could get submitted and it could get added as a post on the protocol layer, and then it would be up to us to create a view that said, this is a post that we think is a good representation of an application that runs within the app protocol ecosystem, and we then publish it. Or it could be a feed inside of Blue Sky or whatever.
And we can label them as promoted.
Yeah, we could add labels and we could ban people. We could say this person just submitting spam, and we could label them, and any post that they submit in the future could just get ignored and things like that. So there's nothing stopping it. Now, why didn't I do that? Because I didn't know anything about an app protocol when I built Blue Sky Directory at the beginning.
Not just you. I'm looking in the App Proto developer Discord. I actually started a thread called Lists of Lists of Lists of Lists, where people would bust in to the developer Discord and they're like, "Hey guys, I made a list of apps," and I'm like, "I love that for you. Allow me to show you to the List of Lists of Lists channel." And that's just how my brain works. I'm like, what if we made it a protocol thing?
No, I mean,
make everything. I mean, the metaphor today is, you know, most things, even though it doesn't technically operate this way, the web is just a bunch of HTML files and images sitting in file systems on servers. Why not just make the whole world be at proto records and blobs, and you know, that's it. And then you literally, your PDS is literally your stuff, but then it's also the foundation. Anyway, so
yeah,
John, it sounded like you just opted to volunteer video code stuff. Video codec on top of app. So you better dust off that technical writing.
God, no, thank you.
I mean, that's what Streamplace is doing, right? They're going to have to make a high performance PDS, but they're going to put like HLS blobs.
I started messing around with like a file system one, like S3. Like, yep. Let's just chunk a file across the board and throw it out there and see if I can reconstruct it on the other end.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is like, I'll give some more color, and you can edit this however you like.
Okay.
Without knowing more about you guys and that you're a worker-owned co-op and other things like this, there's a bunch of directory things, and I'm like, oh, yeah, they're playing last decade's game of SEO, which still works today, right? Like, and Blue Sky has done very little things, so when you're like, I would like a list of startup packs or literally anything, yeah. Right? Like, they haven't updated the... I met with the... new head of product, Alex, and they haven't really, they have a, like, a Blue Sky showcase of apps and stuff that they haven't really updated. I've also pitched them, I'm like, what if you made it a protocol and the whole community could do it and then you could curate what you highlight, right? So without knowing any of the other stuff, you guys, I'm like, ah, oh, these directory guys doing their SEO thing. Totally valid. I think it's I think this is the other thing when you were saying, like, I don't like VC money or I don't like this, and I'm like, you know what, it's a protocol, guess what, we can actually come together with like a lot of different ways and approaches and business models and everything else like that and still like interop in lots of different ways. But I'm truly excited that I think there could be some interesting things that could be done, and we're really at the experimental level, and that's the hard part. We're like, where do you get the funds that need to get paid to developers, right? It's not expensive to run any of this stuff. It's actually really cheap. Like, the fact that a $30 relay can run 40 million accounts, mind-blowing, right? But the people time, and I want to actually start funding, like, artists and creatives and community builders that are, like, 1,000 feet away from developers. That's where all the good stuff is.
I think that was going to be my question for you, I guess, was going to be, if you had a magic wand in 1 year's time, what would you like to see App Protocol be like in terms of, like, what are the things that are running on top of it? Like, what, in, like I said, complete, you know, it's probably not going to happen, but if you could make it happen, what would you make happen?
Yeah. It's a really great question. So, anchoring, remember, right? So, I started hosting Tech Talks in August of 2024, went down to Seattle, caught up with some Blue Sky people, was talking with Paul and others, and I was like, I'm going to do a community conference. You know, and they were like, great, we have zero time to do that. And also, it would be amazing if the community made a conference. So we did that in March. We're sitting here almost in October. I could not have projected all of the apps that have been built in that time frame from March to almost October. So I'm already ecstatic at the stuff that is happening. So I think the year ahead in many ways is keep up that creativity, having more and more people being able to build interesting experiments. And some of them, like I said, should be art and creative and other things like that. And then we've got some foundational pieces, two protocol pieces that I have my eye on. So creative usage of AppProto with many more apps, clients, things like that. That's one. Two is two protocol pieces. Mentioned that I'm kicking off the private data working group. There's a whole set of other use cases that are unlocked by the availability of private data. And I really think that with AppProto, we've actually got app Lego, not social media Lego, which is also why they're going to the ITF, right? Yep. Like ambition-wise, what's an app? It's users posting data. Like, that's the base loop. You need an account, you need to store the data somewhere, and then the app. I'm going to try and normalize just saying app rather than app view, which is a weird developer term, and be like, yeah, that I would like to have the data of all of my apps in my account. The other one that's dependent on Blue Sky, but we're starting to see signs of with Lexicon in different ways, or Blue Sky can make some, choose to support some protocols, is something I call Lexicon embeds. Which reminds me, I should at least write this post up in the forum. Mm-hmm. So right now, when you embed, when you post a link to a leaflet in Blue Sky, it's just like a link to somewhere else. But technically, it's running on the same protocol, so we don't have to like just show a website. Same thing with Smoke Signal, which powers events. You have to go over there, and you like maybe you have to re-log in, but you're already logged in with your account. Wouldn't it be amazing if in a Blue Sky microblog post, you could post a Smoke Signal event, which is an app proto event, and it would have an RSVP button, and it would look beautiful embedded in there, different than just a preview. And you could click on the RSVP button directly in the Blue Sky app or other
or whatever
app powered thing, app. Right?
Right.
So I would love to see some version of Lexicon Embeds chip, which I think in turn just powers a bunch more things of really showcasing what we can do when we work together. Three, I think, yeah, we need more. I certainly find myself swimming just ahead of a tide of U.S. politics where I see a new main character and I'm like, oh, add that to my mute list. This is going to get big in the next 24 hours.
Yeah, we should mention that Boris is in Canada.
Yeah.
Yes. So anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So, so I'm an advisor to a company called Gander that is wants to make Canadian flavored Blue Sky, still microblogging, but like tuned for some Canadian use cases and stuff like that. So I'd love to see more either topic based or regional or language adoption. We've got Germany, Japan, Thai, Brazil. Like we've got lots of clusters of things, but even more people using, you know, completely different takes in other countries and languages around the world. So that, and then let's make it to 100 million accounts. Every account is an account where a user owns their data in an open protocol that yep. can be part of us all working together.
Well, I think let's that's do it.
I want to do it. I want to go lower than that. I want to run everything on my Raspberry Pi right behind me.
Yeah.
All of my data is right there. True digital sovereignty.
Well, that's it for this month's episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Boris, for joining us. It was very generous to give us this much of your time, and we appreciate it. Like we said, you see the show notes for all the links to stuff that we mentioned in this episode. There are going to be a lot of them this time. So apply.coop, our online job board for values-driven workplaces. If you're an employer looking for good people or a person who wants to do meaningful work that doesn't suck, visit apply.coop. That's apply.coop. Site is free for job seekers. And yes, we mean free. No ads, no trackers, no spam. Employers pay only $30 for a one-month job listing. But guess what? Posting jobs is free for podcast listeners. Just use the promo code SOLIDARITY, SOLIDARITY, during checkout. You can also now advertise on blueskydirectory.com, which we mentioned in the episode. These are non-intrusive ads that respect user privacy, and they reach hundreds of thousands of Blue Sky users through blueskydirectory.com. So just visit blueskydirectory.com/advertise to learn more. If you'd like to get in touch with us, we are on Blue Sky, but we're also on Mastodon, Open Collective, LinkedIn, and a bunch of other places that you can find links to on our website at limeleaf.coop. Like everybody, we like money. If you want to give us some, we'll take it. You can do so on Open Collective. Just go to opencollective.com/limeleaf. LimeLeaf is a worker-owned cooperative. If you are interested in starting your own tech co-op, start.coop is a great place to start. That's start.coop. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next month. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.